When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot now bear them. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Amen. Let's pray briefly. Father in heaven, we do again seek your blessing now in the preaching and hearing of the word. And Lord, our simple prayer is that we would now experience the reality that we just read of, that we would know the power of the Spirit of truth, that he would come and he would speak to us by and with the word, that we might experience the presence and hear the voice of our Savior, that we might be led to him, that the Spirit might glorify Christ and we might get a glimpse of that glory. Lord, help us in our weakness and our sin. Pour out your Spirit that we might hear your word this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been thinking about this upper room discourse, Jesus' teaching to the disciples in the upper room, it is very clear that Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And they were experiencing grief at the thought of him leaving them. And this is nothing new. We have sensed this already in the upper room, and we see it again in verses 5 and 6. Jesus said, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Remember, Jesus has already said to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He called them to trust in him, to listen to him. And in verse 7, he reemphasizes something he has said already. He says, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now, Jesus' teaching to the disciples in the upper room, I think, as we have seen again and again, is instructive to us. It answers that question, how do we thrive and live in the Christian life without the physical presence of Jesus Christ? That was the question on the minds of the disciples. What are we going to do? Our Master is going away. And here Jesus answers that question. He says it is through the ministry and the work of the Spirit of truth that we will know the presence of our Savior and that we will live and we will thrive in the Christian life. And kids, this is good for you to think about as well. How do we grow closer to Jesus when we can't see him? Well, here we are taught that through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, that we actually experience the intimate presence of Jesus and grow in our relationship with him. And Jesus, as he said, it is actually better that he goes away in order that he might send the Spirit of truth. And it's better because when the Spirit comes, even though Jesus is in heaven, Jesus, by his Spirit, will be with every believer anywhere in the world by his Spirit. It's better, said Jesus, that he go away, because now his presence is both internal and universal. He's with every true believer in the world, wherever they are, drawing close to them. And as Jesus talks about the ministry of the Spirit of truth in this passage, we see two aspects of the Spirit's ministry. The Holy Spirit will proceed from Christ and from His Father, first of all, Jesus says, to minister to the world. That's verses 8 to 11. And then in verses 12 to 15, Jesus talks about how the Holy Spirit will come and He will minister to His church through the apostolic witness recorded in the Word of God. Now this evening, I figured out late in the week that I'd bit off more than I can chew, and so tonight we're just going to think about that first aspect, the Spirit's ministry to the world. And next week we'll come back and think about the Spirit's ministry to us as the church and how He ministers to us. And so let's first think about the Spirit's ministry to the world. And as I reflected on this passage this week, I really think this is, although it may not sound positive, I think it is very positive. And it provides a wonderful balance to some of the darker truths that we have considered in recent weeks. Jesus said that the world is going to hate us because it hates Him, that the world is going to want to kill us. We saw in Revelation 8 and 9 those dark pictures of how the whole world is under the sway of Satan, tormented and headed toward spiritual death and hell. And now we have a great balance. We have hope offered that the whole world is not lost, that the Spirit is actually at work in this world, that the Holy Spirit will come and He will minister to a lost world, that people might see their sin and see their need for Christ and come to trust Him. So look at verses 8 through 11. This is where we see Jesus articulate the Spirit's ministry to the world. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see Me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, to what is Jesus referring here? What is He talking about? I think a key statement is found in verse 8 when Jesus says, when He, the Holy Spirit, when He comes. Jesus says, here is what He will do when He comes. And when did He come? He came in all of His fullness on the day of Pentecost. And therefore, if we can look at what happened on the day of Pentecost, we will actually see this unfold in Peter's sermon. We will see vividly the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. And if we can understand how this was played out on the day of Pentecost, then we can understand what the Holy Spirit is always doing in the world. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit worked by and with the Word of God as it was preached to convict sinners and bring them to Jesus Christ. Now that word convict means to prove guilty, to show people that they were wrong. And what does the Holy Spirit convict the world of? Let's think about each of these. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus said, first of all, that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin because they do not believe in Me. Now again, this is exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. This is what happened to those who listened to Peter's sermon. They were convicted of their sin, specifically their sin of not believing in Jesus Christ. They discovered that they were sinners and that they had rejected God's Son. And what does it tell us happened at the end of the sermon? They were cut to the heart. They were convicted of sin. And this is the first thing that the Holy Spirit teaches us. We are sinners. The Holy Spirit's ministry to the world in many ways is to reverse our self-estimate. To reverse our self-estimate. It's fascinating that we live in a culture that is constantly saying that everyone's problem is that they have a low self-esteem. That everyone's problem is that they think too little of themselves. And yet what's interesting, if you look at some of the surveys, what you find, the way that people answer surveys reveals that they actually think that they're great. We tend to have a very high estimation of ourselves. We tend to think that we're great. The reason that people feel bad about themselves is not that they have a low self-esteem, but rather that they have a high self-esteem, that they think they're great, and when we think we're great, we don't see a need for a Savior. And so the Holy Spirit comes to deliver us from ourselves. And He teaches us that awful truth that not only do we think we are great, but we have actually dethroned God. That we have elevated ourselves and placed ourselves in the place of God, and we have committed the ultimate blasphemy. And it's an awful truth to discover, but it's a discovery that must be made if we are going to be saved and to trust in Jesus Christ, and if we are going to grow in Him. We need to be convicted of sin. And yet, as negative as that may sound, that the double edge in the Spirit's ministry here is that while convicting the world of the guilt of their sin, specifically that sin of rejecting Jesus Christ, the Spirit also points them to Christ as the one who has paid the penalty for that sin and removed that guilt. Just like those at Pentecost who Peter basically said, you are guilty of murdering the Son of God, and yet forgiveness was offered in that very same Son. And so the Holy Spirit comes and convicts the world of sin and points the world to Christ as the way of having that sin and guilt removed. And then secondly, Jesus says that the Spirit will convict the world of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no longer. Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will show how the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. That the Holy Spirit is going to show how the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ was a kind of vindication of Jesus. That His resurrection declared Him to be the sinless Son of God whose work was received by His Father. And again, we see this very thing. We see the Holy Spirit ministering in this way at the day of Pentecost. Peter preached two of his sermon texts. He had more than these in that sermon. Psalm 16 and Psalm 110. And that he used those texts to show how the resurrection and enthronement of Jesus Christ showed that He was righteous. That the resurrection was a declaration to the world that Jesus is in the right and sinners are in the wrong. Listen to, you could turn there if you want, Acts 2. Read verses 32 through 37. Peter has just cited Psalm 16 and preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in verse 32, he says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now listen to their response. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? The Holy Spirit, through the word preached, convicted that crowd that Christ was righteous and they were not. And therefore they stood in need of a righteousness not their own. A righteousness that came from God that would come by faith. And so again, there is a double edge here. That while convicting the world of its unrighteousness, the Holy Spirit is at the same time pointing to Jesus as the true source of righteousness. That alien righteousness that comes from God that is needed to be reconciled to God, it's found in Christ. So the Spirit comes to the world and convicts them of sin and of righteousness. And then finally, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would convict concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Well, Jesus again here is alluding to how the Holy Spirit would convince the world that they are in the wrong, that they're actually on the wrong side of things. And Jesus is in the right. Specifically here, the Holy Spirit will show the world that they are actually in league with Satan. At the cross, Satan was judged. That's where Jesus crushed the head of the serpent. And that means that everyone who belonged to Satan, they too are under God's judgment. If you read the Gospels, Jesus is accused of being in league with Satan. They would say to him, he has a demon. Did you hear in our reading from Luke how they accused him of blasphemy? They were saying, Jesus is in league with Satan. We are on the right side. And here Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit will show the world that though they judged God's Son and said that he should be put to death, that he was accursed of God, that the Holy Spirit will come and show the world that the opposite is actually true. And again, the positive side of this is the Holy Spirit, while showing the world that they are in league with Satan and that they will face judgment, at the same time shows how Christ at the cross defeated Satan and defeated death. That he has quenched that righteous judgment of God at the cross. See, the Holy Spirit comes, and for those who have been chosen by the Father in the world, the Holy Spirit will minister this way in their hearts. Now, what's the relevance for us this evening? What's the takeaway? Well, I think first of all, if you're here this evening and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, you right now at this moment are experiencing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's coming. He's convicting you of your sin, telling you that you are guilty for rejecting Jesus Christ. He comes and he is showing you and telling you now that Jesus is righteous and you are not. He comes and he shows you that you are actually in league with Satan and therefore under the judgment. And yet at the same time, there is that glorious other edge of that truth that while he shows you are a sinner, he points you to Christ as the one who can free you from that sin and guilt. While he shows you that you are not righteous, he shows you the perfect righteousness of Jesus that will be yours if you trust him. And while he shows you that you deserve the just judgment of God, he also puts before you a Savior who willingly quenched the wrath of God for sinners. And so if you have not trusted in Christ, don't quench the ministry of the Spirit this evening. Embrace Him. Trust Him. And if you are a believer, I think this offers us great encouragement for our evangelism and our interaction with this world. So often we think that our success in evangelism is to do to how articulate or unarticulate we are. And here we can have hope that the Holy Spirit is working. That He is working. We don't have to have all the right words. That we can present Jesus Christ with confidence, knowing that the Spirit is at work, drawing people to Himself. And finally, and more on this next week, but I think this says something about our methodology. Did you notice how this pointed to the day of Pentecost? And did you notice how the Spirit primarily worked? Through the Word of God. Through the simple proclamation of the Word of God. And as we will see as we come to the next section next week, that the reading of the Word, the simple preaching of the Word, that this is the most common way that the Spirit works to convert sinners and to sanctify saints. And that's why when we come here on the Lord's Days, why is our worship so simple? Why is it all about the Word of God? Because we believe that that is how the Spirit works, that He works by and with the Word to bring us to Christ, to enable us to hear His voice, that sinners might be converted and saints might be sanctified. Let's pray together.